What a blessing to be a part of the kingdom of God and to know that loved ones have led us to the feet of the Savior and have helped us to find faith in Him. This morning, I'd like to share with you a message I've entitled God's Absolute. It should have an S on the end, God's Absolutes. There are a few of them. I don't know if you've thought anything about things that are absolute. We live in a world today in which many people try to say, well, that's not my truth. That's your truth, but it's not my truth. It's real for you, but it's not real for me. And there's a lot of relativism going on in the world today where people are trying to bend, twist, reality to fit what they want to believe or how they want to behave. And yet I think that we need to understand God has given some absolutes. If you even look at the universe, we live in a universe that has some absolutes. A person on the 30th floor of a building, if they step off of the ledge, we know what's going to happen. There is an absolute about gravity, and you're going to face the result of it. There are other kinds of absolutes as well. There are absolute truths, and you might talk of gravity as one of those truths of science. In many ways, we talk about science, and we think about science as being this great study that allows us to learn so much, and it's true. But in reality, it's based upon the absolutes that God established in creation. If it were not for those absolutes, there would be no ability to send anything out into space and to make it rendezvous at a particular, whether it be the moon or whether it be going to another planet or whatever it might be, because God in His creation made things precise and there are absolutes there. And because of that, I have a little program that I used to use on my computer that allowed me to look at where the constellations would be in the sky. And believe it or not, it's such a simple little program, but it allowed you to actually open up on your screen on your computer and put in your location and the date, and it would show you exactly where the stars were in the heavens for your location. You could actually take that little program and you could program it into any other place in the world. Any other date you wanted to. I did it one time. I wanted to see what would it show me if I went back to about, AD 3 and say, let's put myself over in Palestine. Let's look around Bethlehem. Let's see what we see in the sky. Well, it didn't show me the star that led the wise men to Bethlehem, but it does show you, because of God's absolutes in creation, where all of the stars were, even that long ago. That's pretty precise, isn't it? Thousands of years ago, we can now use a little program, call up a program, open it up, and for any location on the earth, you can see where certain stars and constellations were at a particular hour of the day and a particular date of the year in that location. There are absolutes, folks. And God has some absolutes in His Word as well. He created the world with some realities and absolutes, but He has also given us some absolutes in regards to spiritual things. And this morning we're going to look at a very familiar passage in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And this is that encounter of Nicodemus coming at night to find Jesus, the young rabbi, to talk with him about spiritual things. So let's read that passage together at this time. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Would you pray with me, please? Precious God and Father in heaven, we pray this morning that you would help us to understand the realities of this life, the world in which we live, the absolutes that we encounter in regards to time and space and gravity and so many other things. But also, Father, beyond the physical realities, we pray that you would help us to understand some of your spiritual absolutes. Help us, Father, to align ourselves with what you are saying in your word, to stand with it, to give testimony to it, and to live it in our own lives, and to share it with others. These things, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Nicodemus comes at night to talk to Jesus. First of all, we know Nicodemus was of the Pharisees. The scriptures tell us that. He was of that ruling group. You might say the council, you know, that inner council of Jewish leadership. And yet, he didn't come to Jesus openly in the day, did he? Why? He didn't want the rest of the Jewish council to see what he was doing. They had already determined, no, this Jesus, he's off the wall. He's different. He's not what we expected. He's not the Messiah. He's not the Messiah we were expecting anyhow, would be what they would say. And so it is that Nicodemus comes at night seeking out Jesus. And it's interesting the things that Nicodemus first says. You notice there in verse 2, he says, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. I think Nicodemus was right. Amen. Nicodemus was recognizing this Jesus, there's something special about him. He wasn't like all of the other rabbis or teachers. This Jesus, when he spoke, had special things to say, but as well, it was accompanied by the hand of God in the miracles that he performed. No one had seen anyone raise someone from the dead. Jesus did that. No one had seen someone feed 5,000 people in one sitting with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus did. And there was a great amount of leftovers. No one had seen anyone heal the lame, give speech to the dumb, give sight to the blind. These were all things that Jesus did in his ministry. And then Nicodemus is saying, we understand you could not perform these miracles if God was not with you. And Nicodemus was right. And then we have that setting, you know, that's Nicodemus' opening line. And in John's gospel, we don't have any interaction there. Jesus just flat out comes out with the first of God's absolutes there in John chapter 3 and verse 3. I tell you the truth, No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Born again. Now that caught Nicodemus' ear, didn't it? Nicodemus, first of all, begins to question himself. And out loud, he's saying to Jesus, well, a man, when he's grown, he can't, you know, enter into his mother's womb and be born again, can he? You know, the obvious answer is, that wouldn't work. Nicodemus understood that. And yet Jesus was telling him there's a need to be born again. Nicodemus is understanding physically that seems like an impossibility. And I think all of us would agree, wouldn't we? Physically, that seems like an impossibility. And so it's more than likely that Jesus was not talking about a physical rebirth. And so we begin to ask ourselves, what is it that Jesus was talking about? You know, it's interesting here. Jesus actually uses the form where he uses the word amen, amen. That's in Greek, but it means truly, truly, or, you know, this is a certainty, this is a certainty. And when Jesus does that, it's like really stomping on something or hitting it hard, or, you know, the preacher who likes to pound the pulpit to get people's attention. And Jesus was saying, truly, truly, I say to you, a man cannot enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. It's a truth, Jesus is saying. It's one of God's absolutes. You cannot physically, being a human being, because all of us are sinners, we have fallen into sin. You know, ever since Adam, sin has entered into the world, and we all fall into that pattern. And we end up finding ourselves as sinners. As we grow up, we make our decisions, and some of those decisions are wrong. They're against God. They're against what God has said. We commit sin, and we are separated from God. And Jesus then is teaching that there's a need for a rebirth. Now, all throughout the New Testament, there are passage after passage that talk about the need for spiritual renewal. We're going to look at just three or four of them just to kind of refresh our minds. How about Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 24? Ephesians chapter 4, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and there in chapter 4, verses 21 through 24, and we'll pick up with 20 because it mentions who is the subject. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul was describing a transition from the old life to a new life in Christ. And he says we've got to put on the new self. We've got to be created in a new way, and it's the renewal of our mind and our spirit that happens when a person gives their life to Christ. That's one passage that tells us about that. Another is a little bit later in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5 give us another picture of that. Titus chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, it's not because of us doing right things, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He saved us how? Through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Again, it's talking about a change, isn't it? A transformation from the old person that we were before knowing Jesus to the new person that we become when Jesus is our Lord and Savior. One more passage we're going to look at in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and then verse 11. Romans chapter 6, 1 through 4, and then verse 11. This is as Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he's entering into this kind of a debate with the believers, and he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? The obvious answer is no, you know, and he actually says, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Catch that. We died to sin. Can't live in sin any longer. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too, what? May live a new life. A new self. A new person. The old one is dead and buried and gone. And the new one has been resurrected to walk in righteousness and in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now down to verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves what? Dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the transformation Jesus was talking about when he gave this first absolute. What was it Jesus said to Nicodemus? I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Nicodemus understood, this can't be a physical rebirth. That won't work. You know, size, all of that. You know, I mean, you know, grown-up person re-entering the mother's womb to be born can't happen. You know, physically impossible. So Jesus is talking about the spiritual renewal that each and every one of us absolutely has to experience if we want to enter into the kingdom of God. Without it, we're lost, folks. Without it, we're excluded. We're outside of God's grace. We're outside of his mercy because we have not experienced the blood of Christ applied to our lives. I love the picture from Romans chapter 6, where we were buried with Christ in baptism. So it's that picture of we died and we were put in the ground. But it's the watery ground this time, you know. The picture of the baptism in the pool is that we're buried with Jesus and then we're raised up with Christ to walk in newness of life. It is that spiritual renewal that was talked about in Titus, where we are changed and we've been washed in the renewal or the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of thing that's happening there. And so we find ourselves with the absolute requirement of God. We must be born again. One interesting little side note. Did you know that the term born again here is actually born from above? Now that makes sense, doesn't it? We can't be born again physically, but we can be born from above. Actually, in the very passage that we looked at in John 3, verse 3, that's what it says, born from above. And if you look down in the same chapter, verse 31, uses the very same term. And it says, the one who comes from above, okay, from above is above all. That's the very same term that Jesus used in John 3, 3, when he said, you must be born again. Nicodemus understood it properly. He understood that it meant again, some kind of a new birth again, but we can understand also that it's a spiritual rebirth when it's from above. First absolute, God's absolute, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born from above, born again. The second one. So Nicodemus responded with his question, man can't enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time, can he? Jesus doesn't answer that question, but he gives another statement. Here's the second absolute. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, and he uses the same form again, truly, truly, or I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Pretty simple, isn't it? No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Now, Jesus is trying to help us understand what is necessary. He actually is answering Nicodemus' question, but not about physical rebirth, but about that spiritual renewal, that spiritual rebirth. And Jesus is explaining a person is not going to be born again except he be born of water and spirit. Now, it's interesting. I know we don't like to talk about grammar very much, and many of us had struggles with English grammar. Can you imagine doing that, you know, working in our own language? And then Marilyn and I went to Mexico, and now I'm working in Spanish in Mexico when we were down there. And then, of all things, I was trying to teach Greek to young men and young women who only had about a junior high education, and talking to them about nouns and adverbs and all of those different things in Spanish, and I was supposedly teaching them. That was a real challenge. That was difficult. But there's something here that's important that we understand. There's, when you look at the way that Jesus answered, he says, unless he is born of water and the Spirit. There's one preposition, born of water and the Spirit. One preposition, two objects. Those two objects have to happen in the same situation. It can't be, you know, born of water, meaning being physically given birth, and then sometime later into adulthood being born of the Spirit. Do you see what I'm trying to get at? Grammatically, one preposition, two objects, means that those two objects of the same preposition have to happen in the same instance. That's the way that it worked in Greek, and that's how we should properly understand it. So, you know, some would say water and spirit refer to the physical birth, but that's an impossibility. Jesus was talking about being born again. He's not talking about the first birth. He's talking about being born again, anew. Some say that the water and spirit refer to some person being baptized into Christ, and sometime later, you know, they receive the Holy Spirit. Can't happen, folks. Not according to the way that it is said here. One preposition, two objects, has to be in the same occurrence. Born of water and the Spirit happen at the same time. Now, when could that be? When could it be that a person is born of water and the Spirit in the same instance? I like what Peter did when he responded on the day of Pentecost, and he preached that message, and people responded to it and said, "Men and brethren, what are we going to do? We've put to death the Lord of glory." And Jesus told them what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people responded in that first day and were baptized into Christ, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so it is, folks, that I fully understand from the Scriptures that when a person is born of water and Spirit, we're talking about when a person makes that initial commitment to Christ and decides to make their first step of obedience, which is repentance and confession and baptism, and we receive the Holy Spirit. It's that conversion process. We've received Christ. We are born again. We are born of water and Spirit in that occurrence. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 as he talked about the Holy Spirit. He says, "You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature or the flesh, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." You cannot be a Christian without God's Spirit abiding inside you. And the Scriptures promise to us when we repent, when we are baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So God's second absolute is here in John chapter 3 and verse 5. "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." You know, we could read on, flesh gives birth to flesh, the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. What are we talking about? When a person gives their life to Christ, they are obedient to Christ in the obedience of the gospel, we are born again. We're born anew or from above. It's that spiritual rebirth, and we have new life in Christ. So folks, if you're here this morning and you've never made that decision, it's time to do it. If you want to live forever in God's presence, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, if you want to be in the kingdom of heaven, you have to be born again. Have to. Not maybe, not I might, no. Have to. God says so. And if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. It's not because I say so. Jesus, the Savior of the world, says so. We must be born of water and the Spirit. If you're here this morning and you've never made that decision, we want to offer you that opportunity. That was God's plan from the beginning. It's still God's plan today. We have a decision time every Sunday morning because we want you to share eternity with us. It's not because we're better than anyone else. It's not about that at all. It's because we have encountered the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins. And we have the promise of God that we will spend eternity with Him. We want you to spend that eternity with Him as well and with us. If you're here this morning, you need to make that decision. Our hymn of decision is Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. Won't you stand and sing with me? If you need to make that decision, please come forward and make us aware of that.